with prayer. Almighty God, how amazing is the Word of God. How we do thank you for it. For we are conscious that we are people who need continual evidences of your grace. And as we read the Word of God, we know that it is true, as we see in this passage before us, that you expound all things to those who are followers of you. And we need your grace, we need your Holy Spirit, we need continually the sense that you are there with us, even as you promised, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And now, our Father, we pray for your blessing upon this passage of Scripture as we study it, that you would enable us to understand, enable us to recognize that this is truly the Word of God, and that there is much comfort and much guidance to be found in this passage. For we pray in Jesus' gracious name. Amen. I especially wanted to talk about verse 39. "And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." You know, the story is told of one of the very early kings of England, a man by the name of King Canute. Strange name. I can remember clearly when I was a youngster, that name Canute seemed to stick in my memory. And King Canute wanted to curb the extreme flattery that the people of his court were giving to him. They would say, "How magnificent you are, King Canute. How wise you are. How wonderful it is for us to be in your very presence," and many words of this sort. And so he wanted to curb this flattery, so he had them come to the seashore and to follow him to the edge of the sea when the tide was low. And there he had his throne put in place, and sitting upon it, in the presence of all the people who had followed him, he commanded the sea to stay just where it was and to advance no farther. Well, you can guess what happened. Did the sea stop? Did the sea go back? Did the sea stay still? And obviously the answer is no. Sea never doesn't do that. When in the presence of anyone who is not the creator of the heavens and the earth. So he and his courtiers sat there, and they waited, and they watched to see whether the waves would stay and obey his command. And of course the tide began to come in, and the water kept coming towards the place where the king was sitting. And when it had almost reached the throne, the king said to his followers, "As you can well see, my power and my authority is very limited. Only God has control over all that is in this world. So then let us honor and serve God." When I read this, I was thinking to myself, if only those who rule over us would take a similar viewpoint and acknowledge the greatness and the wonder of God, and to, in this way, instruct the people who are under their authority. The lesson, however, is one that Jesus himself taught to his disciples, and he did so early in his ministry. It was in the evening of this day that Jesus had spoken many, many parables, as recorded for us in the book of Mark, chapter 4. And then he gave command that he and his disciples should depart to the other side of the lake, to a quieter region. And when he had sent away the multitudes, Jesus and his disciples entered a little boat or a little ship and started on their journey. Jesus, after all of his exertions and being on his feet all that day, was exhausted, and he fell asleep in the stern of the boat. Suddenly a storm arose, and it was such a violent storm that the ship began to fill with water. The waves came over the side of the boat, and the disciples were terrified. Remember that these were, many of them, probably most of them, were fishermen. Few had other talents and abilities, but many of them were fishermen. And instead of saying, "Oh, this is nothing, we can manage, and well, there's no danger," they were, all of them, terrified, the scripture tells us. Well, in all their experience before as fishermen upon the lake, they had never seen such a violent storm. And they also had a long day, and they were exhausted, and they were just unable to cope with that storm. You can imagine the fear that was in their hearts. You can imagine that this was something that they really wondered whether or not they were going to reach the other side, wondering if there was even a possibility of safety. They had never seen such violent storm. What could have stirred up such a thing? Could it be possible for them to have their fears put to rest? Could it be possible for them to have peace in the midst of a storm? Well, the danger that they were going through was a real danger. And yes, their strength and their skill was limited. Why was the storm so violent? I can only believe that the storm was stirred up by Satan, who is prince of the powers of the air, the prince of darkness, as the scripture tells us. He did have power. And he was going to do everything he could to get rid of any opposition. You remember that when Jesus was tempted that in the wilderness, one of the last of the three temptations that the scripture tells us about was taking him to a high mountain, showing him all the kingdoms of the earth. Must have had awfully good eyesight to see around the curve, but showed him all the kingdoms of the earth and said, "See all these things? I will give you complete charge of all these things if only you fall down and worship me." Doesn't seem like a big deal. Should he fall down and Jesus fall down and worship Satan? And Jesus withstood that temptation by quoting from the scripture. And he said, "It is written that," oh goodness, now all of a sudden the words skip my mind, that and turn to Matthew chapter 4, and he says, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." So Jesus had power. Jesus understood and recognized all the things that were happening to him. And he knew that here was a challenge in the real sense of the word, that here is the devil was actually saying, this is what I want you to do. This is my opportunity to get the mastery. This is my opportunity to be like the Most High God. All you have to do is fall down and worship me. So, in line with this, these temptations that Satan presented before this time, Satan thought, well, I'm going to destroy this one who has come here to be the savior of mankind, to give ordinary people an opportunity of peace, an opportunity of salvation, an opportunity to worship the true God. Satan didn't want that to happen. So he thought, well, here he is. Jesus and his disciples, right at this point, they are vulnerable. They can be destroyed. All I have to do is stir up a big storm. Let the waves come into the ship that they, where they are. Fishermen think that they're pretty smart, pretty strong, pretty experienced. I'll show them. So he stirred up those waves, and it was a storm the like of which the disciples had never before become acquainted. And his disciples were afraid. They were filled with fear because they had never, in their long experience, lifetime experience, had never seen a storm of this quality, of this ferocity. And the disciples didn't want to waken Jesus, who was asleep. They knew what a long and hard day he had had, and they were themselves feeling tired. They didn't want to do it, but they were so afraid that they went, Master, Master, wake up, wake up. Save us, as the essence of what they are saying. Master, don't you care? Carest thou not that we perish? They were thinking of themselves, not of Jesus. I guess they thought, well, Jesus can take care of himself. But and of course he could. But so Jesus woke up. It doesn't even say that he rubbed his eyes. Didn't say that he yawned a little bit. Doesn't say anything of the sort. He arose and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. So, you know, the scripture makes it clear that the sea is a symbol of this restless, sinful world. Next, we notice on this subject of peace. Peace is needed in the midst of frantic fear. The disciples were alarmed. The boat was being swamped by the waves coming over the edge of the boat. And they were helpless and they were exhausted. And a lot of doubt suddenly crept into their minds. And they thought, well, yes, our leader, he's sound asleep. Does he care about ourselves? They were thinking that they were going to lose their lives. What did they say? Carest thou not that we perish? And their prayer was, Lord, save us. We are perishing. Well, I didn't think about the fact that it was a high privilege for them to be in the same ship with the Lord Jesus himself. They could see him there. They knew his power. They knew that he could do miracles. But they didn't think that he had power to quiet the waves and the sea. How could peace ever arrive to them? It was obtained by Christ. He calmed his disciples. And we're told that he rebuked them. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Here was an opportunity of faith. And to me, this little thought right here is of great usefulness. When we get into a situation where there is danger, when we get into a situation where there is real puzzlement, how is it possible to solve this need, this problem? Jesus would say to us in the words of his disciples, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? An opportunity for faith. But that's just about the last thing that one who's in the midst of danger thinks about. I could go on and give illustrations from the time when we served in Bethlehem. I think of the times when we saw mobs of angry people walking down the street in front of that ran in front of the house where we were renting, and thinking all it takes is just somebody in the place that, oh, this is where the American is and his family is here too. Let's turn in there and we'll teach him a lesson. We'll teach him that we are filled with power and we can show him that we don't want him to be here. And I can remember clearly gathering the children, my wife Helen and I gathering the children around us, and we prayed, Lord, here is a situation. We can't change the minds, we can't change the actions, we can't change the intentions of these people, but we do ask you to help us and to have these people pass by. And you know, the Lord answered prayer, and the crowd of people filled with unreasonable, angry people, or whatever that was that stirred them up on that occasion, they walked right past as if this house, the house where we were living in, just did not exist. They walked past it. The Lord blinded, as it were, blinded their eyes or directed their thoughts to something else. I think that something of the sort happened there to the disciples. Jesus allowed this event to happen to the disciples. They needed to be taught a lesson that they would never forget. They needed to recognize that, yes, their master had power to do miracles, to heal people who were blind, to heal, cast out leprosy from lepers, to do many other miracles, to feed 5,000 people with only a little bit of bread and a few fish. Yes, Jesus had that power, but could he control the sea? The disciples knew that wasn't possible. They couldn't do it. They couldn't treat it in this fashion. But Jesus calmed the disciples. He rebuked their unbelief and fear, and he calmed their fears. And he calmed the stormy sea. He rebuked the winds and the sea. And you think, does the wind have any ears to hear? Does the sea have ears to hear my words? King Canute didn't think so. But he wanted to teach his disciples something that he had no power. But Jesus, the way he reacted, showed his disciples he had power over the wind and over the sea. And we're told in, that the answer is that the wind ceased and there was a great calm on the sea. Well, you and I know even on a smaller scale. I don't know if you've ever noticed that maybe as is when you were a small child, you like to splash around in the bathtub and to big waves, and you go shush like this, and maybe if you did it vigorously enough, maybe some of the water would go over the edge of the bathtub. That, of course, only happens to the Hamilton kids. But the water doesn't calm itself by itself, ordinarily. But when Jesus spoke, the one who created the heavens and the earth and caused the wind to stop like that, of course the wind was also stirring up the waters of the sea, or the lake really, Lake Gennesaret. But Jesus wanted to make them understand he still had power, the power that he had when he created the heavens and the earth. And so the benefits of that, of his words, had an effect upon the boat where the disciples were. But you know, the Bible tells us that in one of the other Gospels, that calm reached other little ships and brought deliverance to those other ships as well. And I like that thought. This is something that we need to understand. Events that happen to our lives often have overtones or effects on other people. They look at us and see how we are reacting. I can remember when a certain family in Bethlehem, their little baby, just less than a year old, died overnight. And the people round about thought, well, this family here in which the baby was had entered, this family call themselves Christians. How are they going to react? Here is a crisis, and something they understood. This is something that can happen. And the Christian family prayed earnestly, "Oh Lord, you are Lord of life and the length of the time when they're on earth. And how can this ever be used for your honor, for your glory?" And they prayed and said, "Lord, give us a sense of your peace, a sense of your sovereignty, so that this can incident, which did not happen by accident, that it will bring honor and glory to your name." And you know, the calm and the results of that attitude of heart of that family reached out to a great many people. And there was a sense, well, maybe this Christianity, that this gospel, is something that we ought to look into. Why? If they can have peace, and yes, they're obviously touched very much, but if they can have peace of God in such circumstances, maybe this is something that we need ourselves to look into and to see what we can learn from all of this. So, as we read this story here, we have a sense also that it is a case of where the people were, in a sense, being taken back to the days of when the Lord created the heavens and the earth. Here is power, the like of which no one had ever seen before, the like of which they probably never had even thought about. But when Jesus spoke, the wind stopped, the waves stopped sloshing back and forth and threatening those in the boat. And behind that, I have no doubt Satan thought, oh wow, look, the Lord, the one who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, what power he has. The worst that we can do, the greatest threat that we can bring against him, he's able to counteract and to blunt the force of this, so that his word and himself are shown to be greater than all the efforts that I, Satan, can even begin to think of. And we are told that the disciples were impressed. It says, then they feared exceedingly, and they said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? This was something they knew about. They knew the power of the sea, and they had exploited the wind on many occasions. Well, what is the application that can be found in this passage here? Only God has power over nature and the storms. Have we seen some whirlwinds come to this area of Alabama? And the answer is yes. Do tornadoes ever occur in other places? Well, we lived in Indianapolis for quite a few years, and we saw some very severe storms. One storm was amazing. The roofs were lifted off houses down the street, and then the whirlwind hopped over the house where the Hamiltons were living and lifted the roof off of school, which was just beyond our house. But did it touch the house where we lived? No, it just hopped right over like this. How can that happen? It wasn't because I planned it or even prayed about it. It happened so fast before I was even aware that this is what has happened. And it was only later, when we walked down the street and could see the destruction here, destruction over here, and we were right in the path of that tornado. Truly, this is something extraordinary. And we ourselves thought maybe that's the way these fishermen did in that same boat that Scripture talks about here. What manner of person is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Yes, God has power over nature and over its storms, and only God is able to give us peace, both in the world around us, but also internally within our hearts. More than that, we learn from this passage, no storm is so violent that Christ is unable to control it. Either in the world around us, what about storms in the nation of the United States? Is it possible that Jesus is really Lord of Lords, King of Kings, higher than the President, greater than the power of Congress? And yes, the answer is yes. He is in control of the whole world round about us. Control of the church, in the home, and in the heart of each individual. Sometimes storms do arise within the heart. Sometimes storms do arise within the family. Can the Lord control such matters? And the answer is, oh, yes, He can. If even the wind and the sea can obey Him, He can control all other things as well. So all who trust in Christ will be kept in perfect peace and safety in the storm. How is it that you have no faith? And if we trust in Him in such times and give Him the honor and say, Lord, we can't do it in our power, but if it pleases You, You can make the changes that will bring about peace. Is this power exhibited in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament? Oh, yes. What about the family who was headed by a man named Noah? There was a great storm. Tremendous. Nothing like it before or ever or since that time. And yet, Noah was told to build an ark. Endure all the questions and all the scoffing of the neighbors. Why are they here on dry land building this huge ship? And you know the story. Was Noah and his family saved? Yes, indeed. Does that mean that Noah was perfect and that God was going to give him special favors to Noah? Well, we know that Noah was a sinner, just like everyone who has come into the world except the Lord Jesus Himself. We're all sinners, and we all need God's help. But all who trust in Christ will be kept in perfect peace and perfect safety in spite of the storm. What does Jesus say? In another place in Scripture, in the New Testament, come unto Me, and I will give you rest. So in our present needs, times of distress, times when we are wondering, what about the future? Does a Christian have hope? Yes, he does. In the future life in heaven, there we will see Jesus face to face. Not in the situation of a boat, in the midst of a storm, but we'll see Him face to face. Oh, may the Lord God of heaven, the Lord who made this earth, give you peace and give you safety and rest of heart. Look to God in prayer. Do pray Thee, O Lord, that Your blessing shall rest upon us and that we may learn that the only real source of peace is not when nations get together and have a peace conference and you do this and I'll do that sort of thing, but to give peace of heart, recognizing that the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Himself, is the ruler, that He has power that not only can create the heavens and the earth, but power over the tempestuous hearts of men. And we do pray that the peace of Jesus will come into our hearts. And when Jesus says, peace, be still, suddenly there will be a great calm. So we pray now in the name of our blessed Lord. Amen.
Let's stand at scene number 473.